Hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And normally, Hammer Time comes your way at 6:35 on Fridays. But Steve, the VFL, joins us now because the SEC schedule is going to be revealed at 6 o'clock. We'll find out opponents 9 and 10 for the University of Tennessee for this fall, as well as all other SEC schools. So he has agreed graciously to join us just a tad earlier. Steve, how are you, my friend?
John, I am doing fantastic, doing really well. Just honored to be with you guys once again on a glorious Friday here in Knoxville.
It certainly is, and I certainly hope the family is all safe and sound and remain so at home.
The family is doing great, chomping at the bit to get back to school. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, if they're itching to get away from mom and dad and get back to some sense of normalcy, but we look forward to school starting here in just a few weeks for our kids and getting back to whatever the new normal is going to be.
Well, one of the things I very much appreciate about you is obviously you have your area of expertise as former Vol and former NBA player, but just your love for all sports. How excited, how anxious are you to see who winds up on Tennessee's schedule? You already know that you've got Arkansas and Alabama from the West. What do you think it'll be like to watch the reveal next hour?
I'm excited. I'm waiting with bated breath, just like Volunteer Nation out there. We're excited to finally, get a glimmer of hope in terms of, okay, the schedule's going to come around. So if the schedule comes around, then maybe we can start this season on time on the 26th of September and get our 10 games in and perhaps play in the SEC championship. If things go according to plan, we can play in that championship game in late December, the 19th, I believe. So, just like all other fans, I'm really, really excited, hoping that we see some teams that obviously we can match up well against and play well against in the West Division. But, I think speaking for all Tennessee fans, I don't care who we play. I'm just excited to have Volunteer football kick off here in just a few short weeks.
Well, I was going to ask you if you care who they played, and you just answered it. But Tennessee was to play Ole Miss and LSU. There's already been a tweet out from Tony Barnhart in which he has indicated that South Carolina – and one other school are playing different teams on the schedule than if you had the crossover teams for the next 2 years. So I think that's an indication that Tennessee is not going to be playing Ole Miss and LSU. So we'll see what happens with that. Steve, I do want to ask you about this, Tennessee basketball. We had Desmond Oliver on yesterday, and he is really, really high on this Tennessee, the prospects. He said that he thinks that this team could be playing its last game, could be playing in the last game of the season, which obviously means a national championship game. Do you think Tennessee has that caliber of talent and depth?
Jimmy, I really do. I agree wholeheartedly with Coach Oliver. When you talk about the fact that we have got such an influx of great young talent to be mixed with guys that have a year under their belt, like a Josiah Jordan James, who's only going to get better, who's only going to get stronger. When you look at guys like Olivia Kumwa, I'm anxious to see his growth. I'm anxious to see Uroš's growth as well. You mix that in with Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. I think they could be playing in that final game. Obviously, they're going to be well coached. And like I've said before, most of these guys, if not all of these guys, from what I've seen, they have not taken this time off. They've been working their rear ends off, and they've been getting stronger, faster, better. And I think that you're going to be pleased with the results that you're going to see on the floor from Tennessee basketball this year.
He also was high in his praise of Victor Bailey Jr., the guy that could be the point guard. He said that he has surprisingly good speed, a tremendous athlete. He will develop into one of the better defenders, and he is a really good scorer. If they can get all of that from Victor Bailey from the point guard position, I think that really bodes well for this team.
Very much so, Jimmy. You know, I've been in his camp for a long, long time, and I've got a lot of faith in that kid because I've seen, you know, I saw how hard he worked last year with no, you know, guarantee of playing time period, obviously, as he was sitting out his transfer season. And for him to put in that amount of effort in the weight room and on the basketball floor in terms of practice and now have that carry over, you know, to this year, you know, it bodes very, very well. And one guy that really doesn't get the type of accolades in which he probably should be getting is a guy that you shouldn't sleep on, and that's E.J. Anasicki. I think he's going to play a very vital role in terms of someone to come in and provide some depth, provide some girth as well, and spell some minutes for some guys that are going to play a lot of minutes. So, you know, and, you know, he's got great touch around the basket. He's very strong. So don't sleep on E.J. Anasicki as well.
Our guest, Steve Hamer, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And, Steve, what do you think it means that while you do have just an unprecedented amount of talent that arrives in Knoxville to join the Tennessee basketball program in terms of where this class is rated, the star power of the recruits, the very high regard for their abilities, Tennessee doesn't have to throw anybody in the deep end. It's the hope and the expectation that some of the newcomers, one could be their best defender the moment he steps on the floor. But the fact is, you don't necessarily have to have. It's a great bonus if they do, but you've just got options. What do you think that means for each individual that there's not that pressure that you, young man, have to be the guy that leads this team right away?
That's a great point, John. You know, collectively as a unit, we've got such depth and such talent that obviously they're going to push each other harder and harder on the practice floor to try to, you know, garner more playing time in a game. But with that being said, we've got guys that have been in the battles before, you know, a Fulkerson who is an all-SEC player. You know, then you've got E. Pons, who, thank goodness, he came back, who's an all-SEC player. And you only expect to see more from someone like Santiago Vescovi. You only expect to see more from Urosh and Josiah Jordan James. So you've got guys that have been to battle already that can impart some knowledge and some wisdom to the younger guys that are coming in. So, you know, that only means that these guys are going to come together. They're going to play better together. And they're going to push one another harder and harder.
Eve Pons coming off by far his best all-around campaign, wearing the orange and white, the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year. We saw what an impact it had on Admiral Schofield when he explored the possibility of leaving school early to go to the NBA draft and the senior year that came after that. Why do you think it can give individuals that kind of a lift and push when you find out from the NBA exactly how you appear in their eyes?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before, and I think that Eve, it was just unfortunate that, you know, he was going through the draft process during the midst of a pandemic that prevented him from actually having guys lay eyes on him and see him work out in person, you know. And that really benefits the University of Tennessee because that gives Coach Barnes and his staff more time to help Eve Pons develop. You know, he developed, John and Jimmy, I think, into a fairly decent three-point shooter this past year. Could knock some shots down. I know he knocked some big-time threes down at Rupp Arena. But I think you're wanting to see more of that. You're also wanting to see him put the ball on the floor, which he's going to have to do that at the next level. Going to have to put the ball on the floor and create his own shot. So, you know, this gives him time to grow even more, to get a better basketball IQ, and to put more good stuff on film so that people at the next level can see his total package.
Steve, we know that the off-season program and the amount of practice and so forth they could have now has been limited, and Tennessee's coaching staff does such a good job with player development. Do you think that has been an advantage that has hurt Tennessee, that they have not been able to work with these players as much to improve them, and since they do a better job than others, has that been a disadvantage for the Vols?
Well, you know, that's a great point, Jimmy, but I think that when you've got the type of caliber players that Tennessee's got coming back for their roster, I think that these guys have really put in the work on their own. Sure, you know, Coach Barnes and his staff would love to have had their hands on them all summer long, but, you know, I get a chance to see these guys on a day-to-day basis, and by the looks of some of these guys, they look pretty menacing in terms of their size, you know, how much weight they put on in terms of muscle. So, you know, they haven't taken time off, but, again, I'm sure that Coach Barnes would have loved to, you know, get the playbook in these guys' hands and work with them individually on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, it may hurt in the short term, but with Coach Barnes, the number of years that he's been doing this, these guys are going to be just fine. They're going to be all right.
Which newcomer will have the greatest impact? Will it be Anasicki that you mentioned earlier, or Bailey, or Keon Johnson, or Jaden Springer?
You know, I really, again, I'm very high on Victor Bailey, but the more I hear about Keon Johnson and what he's been able to do since he's been on campus in this short amount of time, the way that he's picked up things, the way that he's progressed, the way he shoots the ball. You know, I talked to someone who knows him very, very well over in the Nashville area just about once a week, and they cannot rave enough about the fact that he has a nonstop motor. He goes after it all the time, sometimes to his detriment. But he's a guy that's just going to flat out get after it on the offensive end. He's going to get after it on the defensive end, and he's going to make his team better. He's not a selfish guy. He's not a guy that has to have a ton of shots, but he's a guy that's going to be an ultimate team player, and he's going to fit in well with the ball. So Keon Johnson, I think, is going to play very, very well.
There's so much conversation, and, of course, it will continue. For those that haven't heard, the SEC schedule is going to be announced at 6 o'clock. You can view it on the SEC Network. And so I think with all the attention being on college football, Steve, we're kind of just letting – or college basketball just kind of twisting a little bit in the breeze. What do you think of the conversation, the buzz that's been, that if it is indeed – if college basketball were to follow suit with college football, and that is conference games only, what do you think of the possibility of bubble-type setups in a specific area of each conference to where they could essentially go with a month-long conference campaign slash tournament?
John, I think that's a great, great idea. Again, if you look at the NBA setup, the WNBA setup, NHL, they're doing it the right way. Since we talked last Friday, the NBA has zero positive cases. The WNBA, zero positive cases. To my knowledge, the NHL hasn't had any positive cases as well. So what do we learn from that? I think we learned that we've got to seclude the guys and the girls, get them in a certain area where testing is going to be done on a routine basis, and let them play. Keep them away from the public. Keep them away from doing certain things, and let them play. I know that you know, fans just like me, I would love to be at every single ball game. I would love to go. But if what I've got to settle for is watching them play, then I'll do it. I'll watch them play because I want to see my volunteers and my lady volunteers play. So if we need to go to a bubble-type setup throughout our country to get these games in, albeit conference only, John, I'm all for it.
And do you think that Alabama is the best team in the league, which one person has said, or would you take Tennessee followed by perhaps Kentucky?
Not to sound too much like a homer, but I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to take Tennessee, and I think a lot of the prognosticators out there are going to say Tennessee as well. I think that Tennessee just has a lot of talent. They've got a lot of talent, a lot of untapped potential. Obviously, Kentucky's going to be Kentucky. And look across our conference in terms of the depth, the coaching that we have in our conference now, bringing in more talent and depth. It's going to be a tough conference in terms of play, but I like Tennessee's chances. I really do.
Steve, in terms of the bubble, how good is Damian Lillard?
I keep wanting to write him off. I really do. You know, the Trailblazers, they weren't playing very well. They went out and they added a dinosaur in Carmelo Anthony, and he comes out and he plays well. You know, he's averaging 20 points a game down there, and they just keep getting better and better and better, and he keeps shooting from farther and farther out. I've been glued to the television. I don't know about you guys. It may seem like an AAU atmosphere with no fans there and no applause and all that stuff, but I've been glued to the television because I think that we've seen some really good basketball. A lot of fouls, a lot of threes right now, but I think these guys are going to round into shape for these last three or four play-in games, and we're going to see an exceedingly well-played playoff teams down the stretch.
Hey, Steve, really appreciate your changing things up. Hope you and the family have a wonderful weekend, a great week next week, and we'll talk to you next Friday again.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, you, Steve. As well. That's Ball for Life. Steve Hamer joining us for Hamer Time.